We take your Bibles, please, and open them to Matthew chapter 28, and turn with me to verse 18. And I would ask you to stand if you're able, out of reverence for God's holy word. We'll begin reading in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. Of course, this has been called the Great Commission, which it is. It is a great commission for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's not just to missionaries, that's to everyone who is a Christian, a born-again child of God. So let's read. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this evening that you've given us. Lord, before the foundations of the earth were formed, you knew that we would be here tonight. You knew each and every person who's here would be here. And we thank you, and we take great comfort in knowing that you're omniscient, that you know everything. We thank you most of all for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on Calvary's tree that we might have our sins forgiven and that we might have life and have it for eternity and that we might have it more abundantly. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's quick, that it's powerful, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for it. We thank you that we possess it and we have it. And Lord, I'd ask tonight that you would work in this service, Lord, that you would bring power down from on high, that you would use this servant of yours, Lord, that you might bring across the message that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you would talk and speak to the people's heart tonight here in the church. And thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Ennis and his ministry here. Thank you for the folks' obvious desire to please you and to honor you and serve you. And I pray that you would Lord, most of all tonight, be honored and glorified. Your name will be magnified and lifted up. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We want to turn our attention, first of all, and I want to, before I even get started again, thank Pastor for these lights up here. I like this. Usually, and especially at night, you go in churches, and I've got glasses now, and I'm a little bit over 40. So I need... I need all I can get there, but I do appreciate these lights, and it's wonderful up here. But we want to look at that word there in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word there means authority there. God has given us the authority also to go into all the world because of that. He's got all authority in heaven. He's got all authority on earth. You know, a lot of people misunderstand. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, but God has allowed that. God's in complete control. God's sovereign, and he has all power. He has all authority. And folks, we are going all the way across the world, a little over 9,000 miles to Guam. Not in the authority or power of Bill Henderson. If it was, I'd never be there. I'd never make it. But by the authority and by the power of Jesus Christ and his word, the word of God. You know, as we announced that we were going to Guam with a family of nine, and if you know anything about Guam, Guam is an expensive place. Why would you choose Guam? I didn't choose Guam. God chose Guam. God sending me and my family to Guam. And I had folks... Not recently, but when it first started, I had folks, even folks that I know well, said, how are you going to do that? What are you thinking? And I'm like, what are you thinking? Do you not know the God I serve? Do you not know the God that saved you and saved me and is able to do anything and everything and that's his will? That's the God. That's the power. That's the authority that I'm going on. Listen, we witness a lot. I'm a plumber by trade. I still plumb. Lord willing, I won't be plumbing much longer. But right now, I'm getting back to Greenville tomorrow, and I'll be plumbing. Okay? And I get to witness to a lot of people, get to talk to a lot of people. And when I speak to those folks, and many times it's folks who never heard the Word of God proclaimed, they've never heard the gospel presented to them. This week in Hilton Head, the pastor knew I was coming, knew I was a plumber. He said, "Brother Bill, would you mind bringing your bag? We got a drinking fountain to work on." So I took my bag and ended up working on that on my anniversary, as Tanya told her mother. On Tuesday, she was out. They were taking pictures. Jessie, our pianist and violist, she's a senior this year, and she's practicing hard for her senior recital coming up in May. And by the way, everybody's invited if you'd like to come. We invite all the churches we've been to. I know it's a good bit away, but it might be worth the trip. And be much in prayer for her there. But they were down there taking senior pictures and stuff while I was working. And I went to the supply house, and I met a young man. And after he gave me the parts and such, I asked him. I said, his name's Obi. I said, "Obi, let me ask you a question." I said, "Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" He said, "Where?" I said, "No, I'm asking you. Where are you going to spend eternity?" "Yeah, I don't know. That's what he said. And, you know, I started talking to him. I won't give the whole story, but I told him this, which I say many times. I tell him, I say, "Bill Henderson is not telling you this, okay? This is the Word of God. By the authority of the Word of God, I'm telling you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell them that by God's authority." Folks, the Bible is under attack these days. I was so glad when I prayed with Brother Ennis before the service, first time I met him, and one of the first things he said, "We're King James here." And I said, "Praise God." And a little story about that. And when I call pastors, a lot of them don't care. A lot of churches don't. I do. It's the only Bible I use. I believe it's God's preserved, inerrant word. You get a lot of times people argue with you. "Well, you don't have the original." No, nobody has the original, but we got copies of the original. And we believe the King James Version is the best English translation by far, without a shadow of a doubt. And that's what we'll preach and teach, and will only thing be used in Guam. And Brother Elwood Hurst is even more of an advocate than I am, if that can be possible. But the Bible was under attack, and it was wonderful to see, to hear Brother Enos say that. And I got something I brought with you tonight. This is a different message for me, usually, for a missions emphasis, or we're here because of missions. But the Lord laid it upon my heart to preach concerning the Word of God. And I have some men's opinions here that I want to read to you. It may not be new to some of you. It may be new to some of you. But it's worth reading again. Many times man has attempted to destroy the Bible. In A.D. 303, the Roman Emperor Diocletian issued an edict to destroy the Christians and their Bible. The persecution that followed was brutal. Over a burned and extinguished Bible, Diocletian built a monument on which he wrote these triumphant words: "The name Christian is extinguished." Little did he know. 25 years later, Diocletian was dead, and the new emperor, Constantine, commissioned 50 copies of the Bible to be prepared at the government expense. God's word is here to stay, folks. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We'll look at that in just a few minutes. About 1,300 years later, in 1776, Voltaire, the French philosopher, announced, "100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker." In other words, he was saying it's just going to be in a museum for you to look at, one of them. But 100 years later, Voltaire was dead, and his own house and press were being used to print and store Bibles by the Geneva Bible Society. 100 years from the day of his prediction, the first edition of his work sold for 11 cents in Paris. 11 cents. But the British government the same year paid the Tsar of Russia $500,000 for an ancient Bible manuscript. Folks, man can't do away with the Bible. Now, our country is sadly is trying to do that. Our government is trying to eliminate the Bible from everything. They've already did it in our public schools. They've done it from our courts. They're trying to extinguish it, just like Voltaire, just like Diocletian. But folks, as I tell folks, and this is the purpose of this tonight, we have the authority of the Word of God, and God cannot lie. His Word is forever settled in heaven. You can't do away with it. One more there, here from a noted person that all of you will know, says, if there is anything in my style or thoughts to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. And that's Daniel Webster of the Webster Dictionary fame. He's got it dead on there. As we forsake and neglect and leave our Bibles on the shelf and in the bookstores being sold, being taken in, you see what's happening to America. That's not my message tonight, but the point is, you can't abolish, you can't take away the Word of God. And it's the Word of God is the authority that when we present the gospel, whether it's in Guam or Clayton, North Carolina, that's the authority we have. Listen, there's so many perversions out there now. Our foundation, our authority is the Word of God. It's not some church, and I'm glad of that, since there's a church on every corner who's got their own opinions. When I grew up, they called Greenville, South Carolina, the Bible Belt. And that's true. It's a buckle because it's jammed up with churches. They used to say there's one on every corner. And now there's two on every corner and a couple in between. That's how many churches there are out there. But unless they are based on the unadulterated, inerrant, perfect Word of God, then it's just some man's opinion. And that's all we got out there is men's opinion. But folks, you don't want a man's opinion unless it's the man Christ Jesus. You want God's opinion. And God's Word is the final authority when we live our life, when we witness, and when we present the truths of the Word. Mark 13:31, Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever it's settled in heaven. Amen. What a blessing to know that, folks. What a blessing to know that besides our salvation, the material thing we own on this earth, the only thing that matters, the only thing that will survive is the Word of God. And folks, you can bank on that and you can trust it. Listen, I want to read, I hadn't read this in a long time, and this is probably familiar to some of you too, but I thought it would be appropriate tonight. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, it's alive. You notice what that means. 2 weeks ago, I had an ingrown toenail. Oh, they're awful. And I have them a lot. But this one, I have to just let grow and grow and grow so that I can get it out without having to go to the doctor. And when I cut it, it went too far. And where did it go? It went to the quick. And that hurts. It's very painful. Some of you are grimacing because you know. And it's even worse on your fingernails. But it's quick. What's that mean? It's alive. It's alive. And the Bible is alive. It's a living book. It's like no other book. It's the most sold book ever and still is each and every year. Nothing can outsell it. And it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Folks, that ought to get us on our toes to know that the Word of God can discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. That just hits me. The thoughts, what I'm thinking in my heart, and the intents of what I've got to do. You know, the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what I'm going to say 3 days and 3 minutes from now. That's God. But His Word is a discerner of the thoughts, intents of the heart. But you know, we need to make the book, the Bible, the book of our life. There's nothing wrong with books. There's nothing wrong with books about the Bible. But don't neglect the Bible. And this, I don't know where I got this. It was in my old Bible, the Bible I had a while back, and I copied this out. If you've heard it, great. It's worth reading again. But it goes like this. Generation follows generation, talking about the Bible, yet it lives. Nations rise and fall, yet it lives. Kings, dictators, presidents come and go, yet it lives. Hated, despised, cursed, yet it lives. Doubted, suspected, criticized, yet it lives. Condemned by atheists, yet it lives. Scoffed at by scorners, yet it lives. Exaggerated by fanatics, yet it lives. Misconstrued and misstated, yet it lives. Ranted and raved about, yet it lives. Its inspiration denied, and that's going all around now. Yet it lives. Yet it lives as a lamp to our feet. Yet it lives as a light to our path. Yet it lives as the gate to heaven. Yet it lives as a standard for childhood. Yet it lives as a guide for youth. Yet it lives as an inspiration for the mature. Yet it lives as a comfort for the aged. Yet it lives as food for the hungry. Yet it lives as water for the thirsty. Yet it lives as rest for the weary. Yet it lives as light for the heathen. Yet it lives as salvation for the sinner. Yet it lives as grace for the Christian. To know it is to love it. To love it is to accept it. To accept it means life eternal. That's the Word of God that you're holding in your hands, folks. There's nothing that can beat it. So with that in mind, and knowing that all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth, and that same power is given to us to go into all the world, we want to look just briefly. I'm going to Guam because God has given me power. God has given me instruction. And God has commanded. Our verse is on our prayer card. You saw it up on the video. It's Acts 13:47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. God has commanded us to go. He's commanded us. And where God commands, He enables. He gives us the strength, the ability. And where God commands, He knows we can't do it naturally. Okay? We can't do it naturally, but we can do it supernaturally by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's one of my favorite verses because every single day I know that it's God's supernatural enabling power that enables me to be who I am. I don't deserve to be here today. Folks, not one of us deserves to be here today. If we got what we deserved, we'd be burning in a place called hell right now. A place that Jesus Christ preached about more than even He did heaven. Why? There was a reason. He came to save sinners from going there. And wouldn't you be discouraged or kind of down if you did something so wonderful for someone? I don't have a great example. It just came to me right now. But then they just neglected it, could care less about it. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Folks, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're a bunch of sinners in here. But praise God, as I get to witness to a lot of people, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. So I'm going to Guam. You're going across the street. I'm going across the street. It doesn't matter where you're going. You're going with the power of God behind you if you're a born-again child of God. See, every life without Christ is a mission field. Every life with Christ is a missionary. You with Christ, you're in Christ, you're a new creature today, you're a missionary. It doesn't matter that it's Guam. It doesn't matter that it's Brazil. It doesn't matter that it's Russia, Atlanta, Clayton, Greensboro, your neighbor, your job, wherever you are at as a child of God, He's commanded you to go. Go. And you have power. You have the power of God's Word. So I want to look at real quick today. We're going to Guam and see how important the Bible is to us. First of all, and I want to go quickly because I know it's getting late here. The Bible is the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. We will go fast. Very familiar, so I'll just go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what's right, for reproof, for what's wrong, for correction, how to make it right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us we created unto good works. Not that it's going to save us. Folks, the Bible tells us not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what God sees when He says, when you talk about your good works for salvation, and that's all around. You know that every other religion in the world besides true Christianity, besides putting your faith and your trust and your dependence on the finished work of on the cross of Jesus Christ is works. Every one of them. There's not one exists that can claim that they put their confidence in any other thing when it comes down to it. It's work. We're going to Guam. You saw it's 99%, except for a couple of missionaries in the north, one in the middle, except for some military folks over there. It's 99%. Those folks are lost in their sin. They're trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their church. They're trusting in their fathers. They're trusting in their traditions. And the Bible tells us that there's salvation in nobody except through Jesus Christ. There's nothing added to Jesus Christ. And folks, it's very important that we know that the Bible is the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, it is 2 Peter chapter 1. Go back. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were my eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." Talking about the Mount of Transfiguration there. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Folks, that just simply tells us that the Bible is inspired by God. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. Let me tell you how that works there. 3 or 4 months ago, we were in Charleston, South Carolina. We stopped at a McDonald's. We were eating. We got a big family. People stare at you and such and such. Well, we got out of the van, and there was a guy sitting on a Harley. And he's got tattoos, and he's got his bandana and all this. It's nighttime. And he says something to one of my kids. I forgot who it was now, getting out of the van like they were scared of him. I said, "No, they ain't scared of you." And I said, "I'm not scared of you. I want to talk to you." And I handed him a tract. "I don't want that. I know what that is. You give that to me, this is him talking. You give that to me, I'm throwing it right in that trash." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "That's a bunch of junk." And he went on and went on. And he said this. He said, "Listen, if Jesus Christ was standing right here, I wouldn't believe it." And this is what I said now, according to this scripture right here. It's what I believe. I said, "You know what? If Jesus Christ was standing right here also, I would take God's word over that. Because we have a more sure word of prophecy than in Peter, James, and John even saw Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. I have God's word, His promises that I know that Jesus Christ is God, He's Lord, He's Savior, He's my God, He saved me from sins, and He's taking me to heaven one day when He comes back. I have a more sure word of prophecy because this is the Word of God. Listen, we can go on and go on, but I'm going to quickly go here. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is a living book. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We've already quoted Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Folks, the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is a living book, and the Bible is a preserved book. We won't go back to there, but God has preserved it for us. He's preserved it for us, and we have it. We have copies of the greatest book ever written, a living book, the very breath of God. We have the mind of God, the mind of Christ right here. Everything we've already known. Something that hit me a couple years back. Folks, what if God had decided instead of 66 books, made it 66,000 books? That'd been a lot of reading, you know? But He gave us everything He wanted us to know right here in 66 books. And some of them's very small. Some of them's longer, but some of them you can read in about 10 minutes. So read it more. It'll do you good. The Bible is a preserved book. The Bible is what I need. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a compass to guide me. Psalm 119, 130, The entrance of Thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It illuminates. It illuminates. And it gives understanding to the simple. Folks, you're looking at a simple-minded guy, but it gives understanding when we read it. It's a wonderful book. The Bible feeds my soul. Listen, Job 23:12, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. I'm a diabetic, but I love to eat. I like to eat, and that's a problem. But Job here was a big encouragement to me when I first learned of that. Because he esteemed the words of God's mouth better than his necessary food. And that's helped me tremendously. Very tremendously. So maybe that'll help you too. But we see here that it's 1 Peter 2:1, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word that you may grow thereby. And real quickly, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We just read that. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus being tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And we look in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, just like if you're a man, woman, boy, girl, if you don't eat physical food, you'll fade away. And if you're not in God's Word daily, reading the gold nuggets of God's Word, then you'll fade away spiritually. And Satan will have you right where he wants you. Another story, another message, another time, but that's what Satan wants. He wants you to neglect the Word of God. But you need it for spiritual food, folks. So listen, folks, I'm going to continue here, and I will be real quickly on this ending here. But listen, God wants me to go to Guam. God has called us to go to Guam. God's going to provide for us to go to Guam. God's going to do great things in Guam. But God wants you to go across the street. God wants you to go across the city. God wants to use you to do great things by His Word to spread the gospel. Spread the gospel. In closing tonight, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want you to know a little bit about us, a little bit about our calling, a little bit about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We're going to do it by the power of the Word of God. We'll just start reading back in verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Wow. What a statement. What a blessing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Word of God tells us. It doesn't say might be, can be, will be, maybe be, work for it. It said shall be saved. But then it goes on, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, the Lord who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, that's where we start tonight. That's where I want to end tonight. By the word of God. That's how you get saved. Through listening and hearing that you're a sinner, that because of that sin you deserve hell, that God's a holy God and he can't allow a sinner into heaven, and that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay that penalty of sin, to pay the debt that we could not pay for, the debt that we owed that we couldn't pay for. Folks, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, should not die in their sins, should not pay for their sins for eternity, but have everlasting life. That's Jesus Christ who gave you that opportunity to believe. The Bible tells us, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed tonight? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or are you trusting in something besides Jesus' finished work on the cross? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about works. It's not about whether or not you're a Baptist, whether or not you're a Presbyterian, whether or not you're a Methodist. I talked to a guy about a month ago. I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Of course I do. Where? In heaven. How do you know that? Well, I'm a Methodist. I said, well, why is that going to? Because I've been a Methodist my whole life, and we got to go into that. He didn't get saved that day, but if you believe in that you're going to heaven because you're a Methodist, and that's the only reason, you're not going to heaven. Okay? So, folks, it's important as we go as sent missionaries around the world to have a firm foundation and have the authority of God behind us, and that's what we got. And I trust God for all the need that we have. And folks, I would ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us and getting us there. Folks, I've never even done that before at a church. I really hadn't. I only go as far as, and my wife and kids will tell you, I go as far as asking you to pray for us. But folks, would you prayerfully consider joining and laboring alongside us and sending, as one pastor said, not two, not three, but 12 missionaries to Guam. And folks, God's going to do mighty things over there. He already is, and he's got more things planned for us. Isn't it wonderful to serve a risen Savior?
Amen.
And listen, he cannot be beat. He cannot be approved upon, no matter how hard people may try. So thank you so much for having us tonight.